Hey everybody, it's Jen. Welcome back to Java and Genuflections. Thank you for tuning in, you guys. I really appreciate it. So, I'm going to keep talking about Green Lights, the book by Matthew McConaughey, because it has been very important in my life, and it kind of inspired me to pivot and start heading a different direction. The direction I was on was kind of an autopilot by default direction. And not so much anymore. So there is an episode titled Green Lights. I encourage you to go and listen to it. So today, though, I'm going to talk about some red lights, things I thought were red lights. I keep saying, I hate it. Divorce is, it's a red light. It feels, I mean, when you're driving through the city, you'll come to a red light, right? And if you're on the top of a hill and the stoplights are all synchronized, if you're on the top of a hill at a red light, you'll see all the way down the long hill. Like, I'm thinking about Dodge and Omaha. If you're sitting at the red light in 90th and West Dodge, all you can see to 72nd Street from that point is red lights. And the street isn't as straight as it used to be, but I promise you, you have this view of nothing but red lights. And I think the reason why 90th and West Dodge is in my brain for red lights is because my ex-husband and I used to do pick up and drop off at the Walgreens at 90th and West Dodge. And so I will forever associate that location with red lights. Because, yeah. But sometimes when it looks like the entire city is a red light, you have to realize that only part of it is actually a red light. You know, in this case, absolutely, marriage is a red light. Marriage is done, gone, over, you know, got your kids out of it. That's fantastic. But it wasn't, you know, the divorce did not make the entire city turn to a red light. And it didn't make my entire life a red light, although it really felt like it at the time. Because I didn't get a divorce. I was divorced. I didn't want a divorce. He did. So I was divorced, not by choice. So, yeah, it is what it is. That's fine. But at the time, it felt like, oh my gosh. I didn't know what to do. I mean, I didn't know what I was capable of doing. I had no idea. I had never managed a household. I have never managed a household without having financial backing. So, I mean, we owned our house in Virginia. I've talked about it before. I did the renovation on it and, you know, ran the finances, investments, all those kinds of things. But I had my husband, you know, to fall back on, to rely on, to, you know, he may not have always been present, but he had a presence. Makes sense, right? So that was my first time of it being me, myself, and I, and, you know, taking care of two little kids. I mean, because we split in 2003 and my son was born in 2003. So my son was born February of 2003 and he told me that he wanted a divorce in August of 2003. So he was, you know, he was pretty small, and I went from being a middle-class married lady to single mom really, really fast. And I was a single mom that had no career and no job because I had just followed my husband around. So, yeah, that, you know, in some ways that divorce was a very much a red light that I did not see coming. And I laid a whole lot of rubber to stop. I mean, I slammed on those brakes because I was absolutely not prepared nor equipped to deal with that situation. But it was also it very much a green light because I was catapulted into the unknown, into a future that I did not think I was capable of nor prepared for. I mean, sure, I thought I was capable of it in theory, but, you know, I was getting flung into this universe of, you know, raising kids as a single mom. And my son was very sickly when he was younger. I actually was fired from a great position that I had because I had taken too much time off to take care of my son. And I mean, that's how America works. It's not my son's fault. It's how America works. And, or doesn't work actually in this instance. But when my marriage came to a screeching halt at that red light, I was ejected from that vehicle. I was ejected out of that windshield, and I felt every single piece of windshield glass in my face, I promise you. And I was hurled into a new reality that was a lot to, it was a lot, you know. So it was a screeching red light that really led to, you know, a green light on, you know, the freeway on ramp. I mean, it was a lot. So when you have a red light, it's hard to see around it, I guess, for lack of a better. And when I picture a red light in my life, I picture 90th and West Dodge in Omaha, Nebraska. There's a Walgreens right there. There's also the giant Christmas tree right there. But there's a Walgreens right there. And when I was listening to this book and he was talking about red lights, that is the one that came to my mind. Every single time, this is the one that came to my mind. And when I was getting ready to sit down and do this podcast, thinking about red lights, and I wasn't even sure why. I'm like, why am I thinking about 90th and West Dodge? That Walgreens is where my ex-husband, the father of my children, and I would meet to exchange kids on his weekends. So we would drop him off on Friday night, pick him up, and I would pick him up on Sunday night. And that exchange happened in the parking lot at the Walgreens. So I will always associate that Walgreens with a red light. And I mean, that went on for years that we did that until Gavin could drive. That's where we met. Well, actually, until I became a paramedic and couldn't drive to that location anymore. Just because my schedule just wouldn't allow it. Getting divorced is really hard. I went from, you know, like I said, middle-class mom with two kids to poor single mom with two kids, below the poverty level overnight. And that was very much a red light. But in my mind, sitting at that intersection of 90th and Dodge facing east, when you're up on the hill and you're looking down, you can just see that it's just a miles of red lights because they're synchronized, right? So that red light feels like that's it. That's all there is red lights. All I can see in front of me is red lights. And that marriage was certainly at a red light. That was done. That's it. No more. Kapooey. Gone. But the rest of my life was not a red light. There was so much more that I had to do and accomplish. And so my education at that point was a yellow light because I knew that I needed to acquire education. I knew I wanted to be a paramedic, had no idea it was how it was going to happen. So I was just kind of like waiting for that green light, you know, trying to make the green light happen. But, you know, you're doing what you can to create opportunity, find opportunity, and make those green lights happen. But there was a lot of false starts where it ended up the education was a yellow light. Yeah. Self-growth was at a red light for quite a while because I was just so despondent, destroyed, crushed. My whole life just went down the shitter. And, you know, we were thrust into poverty in very, you know, within a matter of months, we were thrust into poverty. And that's not to say that he didn't pay child support, because he did. But there's a big difference between shared income in a house and child support. You know, he paid child support. He did. And he paid alimony in the beginning as well. So this is not about him, but this is about the reality of what my situation was. And he's not the villain in the story. And for, I mean, he's just not even in the story. I'm just telling you where it started. That red light led to me doing so many other things. I don't know that I would have graduated from college if I hadn't had that red light. I don't know if I would have gotten the mental health help that I needed if it had not been for that red light. I don't think I would have grown the way that I have as a person if it was not for that red light. Certainly, I mean, okay, so I'm hearing Chris's voice, my best friend's voice in my head saying, of course he would have, you just would have done it differently. You know, and so there is that. I most definitely have always looked for ways to grow and improve and change. But I had a lot when I was sitting at that divorce red light. There were a series of yellow lights that came after it that made me realize that if I was going to get a green light to make things better, I had to change certain things. I had to, for one thing, become a better parent. And in order to become a better parent, I had to become more patient and less irritable. And to become become more patient, less irritable, and a better parent, that meant that I had to go and get my mental health issues addressed. Because unmedicated bipolar disorder for me prevents me from being a good parent. It's just completely incompatible. Because my bipolar disorder, my hypomania presents as irritability. My anxiety presents as irritability. So early days, I figured out that I had to go and get this addressed. Because I was not going, you know, prior to the divorce, I had not kept a full-time job. My mental illness honestly just prevented it. And I didn't need to because my husband made plenty of money. And then I was a stay-at-home mom. And, you know, when we divorced, I had been following him, and, you know, military and his different moves. So I had not worked. And I certainly hadn't done anything, you know, I guess meaningful up to that point, you know, not that I felt was. I mean, I think my EMT stuff and my hospital stuff was meaningful, and that actually did lead to me becoming a phlebotomist, which is a good thing because that's how I fed my kids for the longest, you know, until I ended up losing my job because of absences, because of a sick kid. And, you know, if he hears this, my God, you know, it was not your fault at all. We have a broken system. I know I repeated myself, but you know, that really stings. You know, that was such a dark time and was so difficult. And so much of my kids' childhood was very stressful and trying and difficult. And, you know, I was growing and improving and changing as a person whilst parenting and metamorphosizing into an entirely different being. But, you know, they talk about the caterpillar becoming the butterfly. Well, I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but when it gets into the chrysalis, it completely dissolves inside and turns to mush and becomes something new. So there's a lot of violence in this whole butterfly changing process. And yeah, it was very, very hard. But I needed to address the mental health issues, which I did. I mean, I still had a lot of problems with anxiety, but anxiety is an issue when you're worried about keeping the lights on. But that ended up being a green light for me because I got the help that I needed to get, got medicated, which, you know, stabilized me out, which helped me to be a better person, which then led to me getting the green light. And it's interesting because when I got fired from that job for absences, I thought it was a red light. For sure, it was a red light. We had gone on vacation to Oklahoma. And when I was in Oklahoma, my brother and I were talking about, my brother's a paramedic. We were talking about the fact that I really wanted to become a paramedic. And he had an application to the paramedic program for me waiting there. And I said, I cannot quit my job and become a paramedic. I can't quit my job and go to school. So I'm there, and he had me talk with the dean of the EMS dean and, you know, some important people and get kind of the lay of the land and figure out, you know, how it would have to happen. I was like, you know, this is a pipe dream. It's not going to happen. But, you know, we had fun talking about it. Well, I get home from vacation with my two kids and go into work. And I worked one shift. I worked, that was my weekend when I got back, where I was I don't even remember what they called, like the clerk, the lab clerk or something like that. But you organize all the labs that need to be drawn, push through results, schedule the runs, the hourly runs and whatnot. I ended up getting fired like 2 days after coming back. I ended up getting fired because they reviewed my absences. And, you know, there's no such thing as an excused absence. I don't know. I mean, at least not in the state of Nebraska. They do not have to excuse absences for your kids being sick. They can just fire you. And they don't have to let you use PTOs, paid time off, to cover for your absences for a kid being sick. So I ended up getting fired, and major red light. I'm like, what am I going to do? Fortunately, I actually did have some savings, and I had just a week prior, my brother and I had gone through all these steps for going to paramedic school. So I got fired in late July. And less than a month later, I started EMT school because it had been so long since I had been an EMT. So that firing felt very much like a red light. And it ended up being a yellow that ultimately turned green in short order. And as I was going through EMT school, I was still able to work. But I went straight from EMT to paramedic and received a lot of scholarships, and such a negative thing ended up being a good thing. It ended up being fine. I ended up becoming a paramedic, which was what I wanted to be in the first damn place. So, you know, fan-freaking-tastic. You know, I'm sorry for the way that it all went down as far as, you know, getting fired and my son being so sick all the time. But yeah, it ended up working out great. So there's so many examples, and I'm sure if you sit down and think about the course of your life, you're going to find a lot of these situations where red became green. And, you know, can you make, when you're at a red light in your life, for example, getting fired, is there any way to either, you're sitting in a car at a red light, okay? Is there any way for you to get that car to go through that red light? Is there any way to make this a yellow, proceed with caution, or a green? Or do you have to park that car and get into another car that's going to a different place to get that potential, to get that green? Because that's what I had to do. First of all, I had gone as far as I was going to go as a flea bot, and I knew that. But I had thought, you know, I would probably end up managing a lab, you know, not a lab, but managing the flea bots, you know, because I had become a flea bot instructor. I had become a trainer. They were sending me various places to get hard sticks. They were sending me to nursing homes. I was traveling to get blood. Yeah, I was a really good flea bot. And ultimately, that really did help me, you know, with my paramedic career for sure. And everything that I had seen as a flea bot, you don't think, you never really think about the stuff that the phlebotomist sees and is next to. But it's actually quite a bit. Because if you look next to the bed, like crouched down underneath the person doing compressions, there's some flea bot trying to get blood gases or lab draw. So we're there. We're just, you don't notice us. But all those experiences helped me get to where I was going as far as becoming a paramedic was concerned. It's just really, you know, sometimes hard to reflect on. Now, when I got sick, that definitely was a red light for a lot of things. It was, for a long time, it was a red light for even being able to dress myself or take a shower. But it was definitely a red light on getting sick, was a red light on my paramedic career. And that was hard. I don't know if I've talked about this before, but I was working at a major local hospital and I had started to develop brain fog and I was not entirely sure what was going on, but I knew that I had something wrong with me and I didn't feel like it was a good idea for me to be monitoring hospital patients. And so I ended up leaving because I was just having this severe brain fog. Still do have it from time to time, and you'll hear like a big pause, and that's because the brain fog has kicked in. But that felt like a major red light because it was like the last opportunity I was going to have as a paramedic, and I was getting so sick and having so much pain that I, when I left that job in 2016, I was pretty sure, you know, that was it. Red light, you know, how is anything going to happen from that? Well, I had to pivot. I had to get in another car because I needed money. I needed cash, but there wasn't a whole lot I could do. Some buddy of mine got me an interview at a church. So I went to work at a Christian church. That feels weird. That felt strange as a Jewish person, but I did. And so that red light of not being able to work as a paramedic led to me working at this Christian daycare, making breakfast every day. I went in at 7 a.m., made breakfast every day, and they eventually created a position for me where I was the team lead of my own room, and I taught 2 to 3-year-olds. And I wasn't the only team lead, but I was told that they created the position for me and that there was, you know, like, well, we can do this with other rooms. And so we did. That job allowed me the financial freedom and the time off and the loving. It was a loving atmosphere, honestly, in some ways. And like they let me take naps and those kinds of things and let me go to the doctor. And I was working with my good friend Julie the whole time. One of the big things is that I worked there for exactly a year, which was just long enough for me to qualify for short-term disability, which I hadn't even had to pay for. And so I received short-term disability for 23 months and 3 weeks. And then Liberty Mutual decided that I was not permanently disabled, although I am permanently disabled. But once again, it was a red light. Had to go get in a different car and find my way to a green light. So, yeah, I turned a little job making breakfast and working 3 hours a day tops. I started out by, you know, working, doing breakfast, and then, you know, progressed to being a teacher, you know, extended my work day until noon plus, and then transitioned it to a full-time job. I have to admit, I did a really good job. Yeah, it really worked out. I really ran with it, and that sustained me until I was able to get Social Security disability. I mean, that job paid for all of my rehab. We got through my health care, my health insurance. It covered all of my rehab, and it sent me a monthly check. I mean, that was an incredible... If I had stayed at the hospital where I was working, none of that would have happened. That would not have been an... They were not going to let me take a nap. I was monitoring ICU patients, for God's sake. And I needed a nap. I just needed so much more than a paramedic gets in any environment. You know, I needed a lot of grace, a lot of space, a lot of rest. And I loved my kids. It was very healing to go work in a daycare. It helped me process a lot of trauma, believe it or not. So, yeah, when you're sitting at a red light, the red light of divorce or whatever it is, start to look for the red light or the yellow light or the green light. Start to look around and think, okay, maybe I have to abandon this car because it's at a red light. And you know, and something that seemed like it was a red light is not, it might not always be a red light. It just might not. Because disability very much felt like a red light. I never would have expected that rehab would have helped me get enough function back that I don't need help every day. At one point, my husband was looking at putting me into a nursing home. Absolutely not necessary. At no point was this discussed or suggested. But that was one of his ideas. Let's just put me in a nursing home. Because I was struggling to take care of myself. I really and truly needed help to take care of myself. And so, yeah. Hard stuff to reflect upon, for sure. That was, as they would say in Harry Potter, dark times, Harry. It was for sure dark times. But it was a red light that ended up being okay. And disability, I mean, it's not. Disability is a red light for the path that I used to be going down. And I, you know, can't go down that path that I had chosen to be a paramedic. And I can't do that anymore. And I've accepted that, and that's fine. But I can do other things. I can't do things in the same way that I used to. I can't work, but I can do some things, right? And I think that realizing that I can do some things and just in a different way has been tremendously cathartic for me, for sure. So I hope if you're sitting at a red light in life, process it a little bit. Just sit there. Just sit at the light and feel it and absorb it. And once you do, figure out how to get around it. You know, figure out where you're going to go next. You know, figure out how to get to the green to move forward, or at the very least a yellow. Focus on something else. If one aspect, you know, closes, you know, your marriage closes, what else is... it's not all red. There's something green. You're just not necessarily seeing it. So I know I'm going to talk about this some more. So keep an eye out for that. You guys, thank you for sharing the podcast. I appreciate it so much. Help me build my audience. It's very appreciated. And this is Jen with Job and Jenny Flexions. Please share. Bicycle.